If you brought your Bibles, and I hope you have, please open up to Psalm 100. You know, kidding. That's exactly right, brother. That's exactly right. And if it's not your theme song, it should be. Amen. I'm going to jump around a little bit. I've got the King James Version. I'm going to read some things out of the Amplified Classic and also out of the New King James. And we're going to do this out of the King James Version. This is a very familiar psalm. And the very first verse says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." We are commanded as human beings in the book of Psalms 7 times to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. And what prompted the title of this message, I just called it noise. Because as we're going to get to an account in the book of 2 Kings about noise. And it really struck me about the amount of noise that's in our life. And it's not all joyful.
That's right.
I don't know if you've ever thought to think about what noise is. You know, so why did he say make a joy? Why did the Lord say make a joyful noise? Because there's so much other noise, and a lot of the noise comes out of our mouths.
Right.
We're not exactly joyful.
Come on.
The noise that comes out of our mouth is not exactly joyful.
That's right.
No matter what's going on. Oh, it's great when the sun's shining, you know, and work is great, and the bills are paid, and oh man, bless the Lord, that's easy. Man, when things get a little bit stormy, the noise changes a little bit. And I'm not talking about the storm's the storm. It makes its own noise. A storm can't control the kind of noise it makes. We can control the kind of noise we make.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really should start doing that.
Amen.
So make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Not with murmuring and complaining, so you don't have to roam around the wilderness for 40 years, but with gladness. Count it all joy. When they're sticking needles in your eyes and everything else is going wrong, you know, it's hard to count it all joy. But serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know this body of Christ. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. And there is no other one.
Amen.
Now, there's some little gods. There's some pretend gods. There's some made-up gods. There's some things made of stone. Some things made of gold. Some things made of nothing. But the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega, he is God. Amen?
Yes, he is.
And you're supposed to know that.
Mm-hmm.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Now, if anything else is said tonight, if you don't get anything out of this entire message, get this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving. The Bible talks about, you know, the progression of God's word. Unthankfulness leads to unholiness.
Mm-hmm.
Gratefulness or ungratefulness leads to unholiness. Amen?
Yeah.
There's a progression right there. And if any group of people should be thankful every minute of every day, it's us.
Amen.
Because we're not going to hell, first of all. That's probably the biggest thing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. More thanking and less thinking. Our pastor said that. And into his courts with praise. Again, it says, be thankful unto him. Amplified Bible Classic says, and tell him.
That's right.
If you're reading out of the Amplified Bible, it says, tell him. Not just don't mentally say it.
That's right.
Say it out loud.
Amen. Yeah.
The second song we sang tonight, my hope is in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If you can drive, people drive by my pizza shop and see me singing and my hands lifted up, they probably think I'm absolutely out of my mind, but you know, it doesn't matter to me. That's what I do. My hope is in the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, men sure put an assault to me here the last 4 months.
Yeah.
If I wasn't hoping in God, I probably would have given up. I really seriously thought about it a couple times.
Yeah.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and tell him so, and bless his name.
Yeah.
For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. You're in the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 33. A lot of different noises, church.
Yeah.
We're going to discuss some of them. Can't get to all of them tonight. We're going to get to a bunch of them, or a few of them, a few important ones, I think. Psalm 33. And, we'll do the King James Version since we're here. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Now, let's talk about music just for a few minutes. Some people's music is other people's annoyance. Some people's worship or some people's, you know. Now, for example, I love most kind of music. I do not like opera. I would rather listen to you scratch your nails on a chalkboard while simultaneously chewing aluminum foil than listen to, how's that for a noise, than listen to opera. But people love it. Yeah. And it's not always easy to sing joyfully when things are going tough. It really isn't. And it's an act of our will. You know, Timmy, how many times have you said the very rocks? Think about this. The rocks don't have a will. No. They don't make any decisions. And they know enough to praise God. Amen. How much more should you and I know to do that?
Amen.
Amen? Make a joyful noise.
Yeah.
Make a joyful noise. 1 Thessalonians. So somebody said, oh my God, he went to the New Testament. Yeah, he went to the New Testament. Just relax. I was lost, but now I'm found. Thanks, brother. I was the lostest of the lost. Paul was the chiefest of the sinners. I was the lostest of the lost. The English teachers back are going, lostest? What is wrong with that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll go, let's see, we're going to go down to, let's go down to verses 16. How's this for a noise? How's this for a noise? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. It's not going to be hello.
That's right.
It's going to be a shout.
Amen.
That's going to shake absolutely everything. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The Amplified Classic, I think, says encourage, comfort and encourage. We are really supposed to be encouragers.
Yeah.
No, somebody comes to you and you know they have a bad report about, you know, about whatever it is, some sickness or some disease. You know, the last thing you want to hear from you is, hey, I knew a friend of mine that died from that.
That's right. That's right. Come on, Elder.
Talking about encouraging people. Your hope's in the Lord.
Amen.
He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Amen?
Amen.
So I often thought about how loud this was, the trump of God was going to be. Heard you play the trumpet beautifully. Just imagine what that's going to sound like to me as a trumpet player.
Amen.
However, since let's look over to Luke, since we're still in the New Testament here. Luke chapter 21, and I always, always wondered about this scripture, and now it's crystal clear to me, and maybe I can make it crystal clear to you. Chapter 21. Let's go down to verse 25. This is Jesus speaking, and I know that because it's in red in my Bible. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Have you seen the wonderful pictures of Saturn from that spaceship that was launched 20 years ago? And it's now just getting to Saturn. God created this in less than a day when he created the moon and the star. And it's taken us 20 years just to go take a few pictures.
Yeah.
It's zooming through the rings, it's taking pictures, and then it's going to crash.
Yeah.
I told Daniel, I said, you were 1 year old when he launched this. It's been flying for 20 years. He was 5 years old. It's been flying for 20 years.
Mm.
Signs in the stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool stuff. That's always fascinated me. I always said if they ever made a way for people to go into space, I would get on that rocket tomorrow. And I know that sounds crazy, but man, what a ride that would be, and I just would love to do that. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distresses of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Moving, angry water makes a sound of all its own. Let me tell you, and it's impressive. It is frightening. I always let you know about Lake Erie. When Lake Erie gets angry, it had 10-foot waves on it 2 days ago. The sound of that, you can't comprehend. If you've never been to the ocean, that sound is almost incomprehensible. When high tide is coming in, there's a little storm. It's an absolute roar. If you've ever visited Niagara Falls,
yeah.
you can hear that roar for miles away before you even hear or even see the falls or see the mist. You can hear that roar.
Yes.
It's impressive.
Yes, it is.
It is impressive. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming at the trumpet blast in his clouds with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I could not understand why he said that. Why did he say look up? Because here's our generation, folks.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you.
Come on.
Whether you're in a restaurant, if you're going down the streets, unfortunately when you're driving, and the trump of God could sound, and somebody said, I didn't get a rapture emoji. What happened? It can't. There's no emoji for the rapture. And they would, and I'm thinking, why did he say that back before there were cell phones and electricity? And people sit in restaurants. I see, you know, young couple, good-looking guy, good-looking girl, never looked at each other. I still can't take my eyes off my wife when we're out. That's just how I am. I don't get it. And the trumpet will blow. Let me just finish this text. And people are going, the sound I want to hear of all the noises I want to hear is all the cell phones hitting the deck at the same time when the rapture happens.
Amen. Yeah.
What do you think that's going to sound like?
Yeah.
The clacking and chattering, and you know, you got these things that are, they'll be shattered to dust when they hit the ground.
Amen.
So why is he telling you to look up? You think the blast of the trumpet and the archangel going, hey, you think it would make you look up? People are too busy to look up.
That's right.
You know how many pedestrians are hit every day? By looking down at their telephones or cell phones?
Yep.
Are you that attached?
Yep.
Seriously? I had a lady stand in front of me in disbelief visiting my son where he's working and said, you don't have a cell phone? I said, no. She said, is there something wrong with you? I said, no. I just haven't bought the lie that I have to be in contact with everybody 24/7. I just am not that important. I make pizza.
Yeah.
Well, what if you go fishing, Dan? You know, Dad, my wife. What if you go fishing, Dan? And you know, something happens to you, and we can't get a hold. We can't find you. We can't get a hold of you. And I said, you know what? Most of the places I fish, there's no cell phone. And if I die when I'm fishing, and you find me on the bank dead, know that I died doing exactly what I love to do.
That's right. Amen.
Take some comfort in that.
Yeah.
But the last thing I told the girl, the last thing I want is I'm out fishing, enjoying myself, away from all the noise,
yeah.
And to have my phone hunt me down like some beagle. Give me a text message saying, the rapture hasn't happened yet. Or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Look, I'm eating pasta. I don't need to know that about people's lives. I just don't need to know it. I'll get back to you. I'm using the bathroom. Well, who cares? Facebook, wall book, space pages. Who knows what they're on? Honestly. And my sons, you know, they bought me, my son and my daughter-in-law, my sons and my daughter-in-law, bought me this iPad a couple years ago, and they said, Dad, we got you an iPad. We got you because you're dropping things. We brought you the case so it doesn't shatter when you drop it. And they said, we got you a stylus. And I said, well, thank you. I've been wanting to do something with this for years. And they said, no, you tech savvy, not tech savvy. What do you think that noise? I'm completely serious. Why did he tell us to look up? Because nobody's looking up.
Yeah.
If you don't look up, whatever's got your attention here on the earth, which is perishing, you got to look up the things that aren't perishing.
Amen.
They just aren't perishing. But people, my God, 4th Avenue, we're in front of our pizza shop. It's a one-way street. Okay, when you cross the street, the traffic's coming from left going to your right. People are on text. They're looking at their phone. Shearing mirrors off of cars, plowing into the back. I'm serious. This happened. The years we've been here 26 years now, and people that have visited down the shop, I walk out, I'll carry people's pizza across the street for them, whatever, and I stop them, and of course I look to see if anybody's coming this way, and then I look this way. And people say, well, wait, it's a one-way street. I said, we've seen 40-some cars come in the wrong direction because people aren't paying attention. They're looking at whatever. They're completely distracted, completely. That's a what?
That's a D.
That's it. Well, yeah, exactly. That's a D. Exactly right. So look up. All types of noises. Let's look at some of the noise we've got. What noises can do to you? Okay? Noises can bring fear. These are the negative things. Okay? Can bring torment. Confusion. We're going to talk about how noise can bring confusion. irritation.
Yeah.
Everything just work. Every noise make it work. Every one of your nerves, just work it. The pleasant sound of your teenager talking back to you. What a noise. What a noise that is. How's that for working every one of your nerves? Cause panic. Panic's a strange thing, right? Again, our shop, we sit on the railroad track. The railroad tracks aren't from here to the doors, away from our back door. When the trains are coming from Swickley, going towards Pittsburgh, you can hear them. Every crossing is a horn. Your engine, if people work the railroad, you know what I'm talking about. Because somebody was killed, Corey Alpus, years ago, so they blow these horns three times, every so you can hear them coming. The train in the edge of the town, you can hear it coming. So when it's coming the other way, our back door, our porch is literally the first whistle. 26 years, it still scares the daylights out of me. And it's by the time the end of the day runs, the last noise I want to hear is a stinking train, because it works every one of your nerves. Just think about now the noise that's in your life right now. If you're watching television, that's a noise that's beating on your head and on your brain almost 24/7. It beats on you, and it takes the place of this. It can't take the place of this. It cannot. Or you're going to be irritated. You're going to be confused. You're going to be panic-stricken. Yeah. Believe me, you watch any of the business channels that are showing you the stock market, that noise will make you panic.
Yeah.
Nobody's happy about anything on them channels.
That's right.
Nothing. Stock market going up like crazy. You think that's time for rejoicing. Well, you know the end's going to come near. You know what? I'm not tapped into that economy anyway.
Right. Amen.
It's all in God's hands. Yes. Amen. That's just how it is.
Amen.
God's economy is not going. All kinds of noises. And what we have to do as believers, we have to turn that noise in our life down. We have to figure out somehow to do it. It's a hustle and bustle. But one thing about noise is if you took every television, every radio, every cell phone, and any other device that can transmit sound, shut down every train, plane, car, and any other piece of machinery, if you shut every man-made noise out of your life, completely shut it out of your life, the enemy still want to bring that noise.
Right.
Pastor, you talked about the sheep all the time, the buzzing in your head, buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. Mm-hmm. They bring that noise into your life, mm-hmm, to make you confused, to make you fearful, to make you panic, to irritate you. So now you're not treating your family the way you should. That noise is going to come. It's just noise. Let's talk about how it can bring confusion. We're going to go to 2 Kings. One of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible. And we're into a Bible study, so we're not going to just run through these scriptures. We're going to stop and talk about, there's so much teaching in this. I don't know how it is with you. I study the Bible, and every time I read something, if I've read it 100 times, that 101st time, God shows me something else in it.
Yeah.
It's and you folks that get messages ready, you know what I'm talking about. It's cool. Because the Bible doesn't say read the Bible as fast as you can. The Bible says to study the Word. Because the creator of the universe, in two syllables, do more for you than anything you'll ever hear on TV or radio or whatever. If it's here, you need to hear it. Well, the book of Numbers, if it's here, you need to hear it.
Amen.
Okay. 2 Kings chapter 7. Everybody knows this story. I don't think everybody knows all the parts of this story. We're going to go to the New King James Version. This is about Elisha. Now let's bring you up to speed what's happening here now. If you go back to 2 Kings chapter 6, times are not good. There is a famine, a gigantic famine. In fact, it is so bad. People are eating their children. Literally eating their children. The two ladies that came before the king and told her the story, the king was so upset he rent his clothes. Elisha hears about the king being in all his distress. They're in the city of Samaria, walls around them, and they're trapped in the city. There's a famine, and not only is there a famine, on the outside of the city are the Syrians. Has anybody heard of Syria?
Yeah.
Has anything changed? Syria, again?
Mm-hmm.
So the king's distressed. Not only is he distressed, he said he's not happy with Elisha. He thinks this is all his fault. Blame the man of God.
Yeah.
That never happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, that all passed away. Okay. Jeez. And my old Bible that my sisters bought me when I first saved, there's a scripture, the chapter and verse, I'm just not gifted to keep that stuff in my head. It says, try the spirits and see if they ever go. I wrote a problem, not the pastor. There's a parenthesis written in ink. Try the spirits, not the pastor. So here's Elisha now. The king wants to do him in because he's blaming everything on him. Then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a sea of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, or about a penny, I guess, and two shekels of, and two seas of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, in probably some snarky, sneering, disgusting, arrogant voice, at least this is how I'd hear it, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? So Elisha said, listen, you sweet cake, here's what we're going to do for you. And Elisha said, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. I don't know why you want to upset the man of God.
That's right.
I tell people that I come to my pizza shop, they want to maybe give me a hard time about something. You really want to upset the person that's making your food? I'm in a place where you can't see where it's being made. I mean, really? Why would you upset the man of God? He could just fire, and fire just sneeze, destruction, Now, Samaria is under siege. Syrian army under siege. Famine in the city. People are starving to death. Literally starving to death. Nobody can get out to get help. Nobody can bring food in. They're trapped. That's as bad as it gets, right? Oh, no. It could be worse. Cheer up. Things could get worse. I cheered up. Things got worse. Yeah. Now, what's out in front of the gate between the army and the famine? Four lepers. Really? Four lepers? They're not allowed in the city. Even if times were good, they'd be stoned to death. Jeez, I'm a Samaritan. I'm a leper. Hated by everybody and not despised by everybody. Now, there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we'll enter into the city, the famine's in the city. And we shall die there. First of all, they wouldn't let them in. They'd stone them to death. The famine would never get a chance to get to them. They would stone them to death. You understand about the lepers, right? You understand how afraid they were of it. You talk about panic, fear. There you go. Stone them. So the famine's in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we're going to die anyway. Mm-hmm. And if we sit here, he said, we'll die also. Now therefore come. He said, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. And they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die. Have you ever been to that point where you just, let me die.
Yeah.
That's it. We shall but die. Yeah, they won't be worried about starving to death or leprosy killing. They'll just kill them. And they kill us, we should only die. I remember the one and only battle I ever had with kidney stones. The pain was so bad, I thought I was going to die. And I remember my boys and my wife sitting there, and the nurse came over and said to my boys, said, your dad's not dying, he just thinks he is.
Yeah.
And the pain was so bad, then I got worse and I was afraid I wasn't going to die. I really wanted to go. So things can get, as bad as things are, they can get worse. So they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And then they were thinking, what is he talking about? Why is he bringing this up? And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. Now, here we go. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of the great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us. This is what the Syrians say. Look, said the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Have you ever seen people fleeing for their life. Now, I've never been personally involved in it. I've witnessed it on TV when there's a terrorist attack at a nightclub or in a marketplace. You see people run for their lives. They're not worried about their cell phones. They're not worried about their gold and silver. They're not worried about where the next meal's coming from. What they're wearing, they're running for their lives. All because of a noise. A noise can cause that kind of panic. This is coming from God. Now, you know, when you think that your enemies are coming against you and there's no hope for you, you've got a chance to do some work. First of all, he wants to. This is a powerful army. This is an army that has this city at its mercy. Not because of a noise, they're running. Don't let the noise make you run. Don't let it happen. Don't let the reports on the news, don't let whatever you're hearing, don't let that noise make you run. I'm going to show you something else that happens when you run in panic. So they fled at twilight. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent, and they ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. And then they came back and entered into another tent, and they carried off from them, you know, silver and gold, and they ate a little bit also, and they went and hid it. And then somebody heard from God. One of the lepers suddenly heard and said, "You know what?" And they said to one another, "What we're doing is not right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning, till morning light, some punishment will come upon us." Now, think about this, church. For how many years have we been saved? We get to come into this tent and feast on some of the finest food you'll ever eat in your life. Meat, some gets milk when it's necessary, mostly meat. Golden nuggets from the throne. Jeez, treasures you can't put a number on. When was the last time you told somebody about it? Did you keep silent? Did you run it off and just went back to your little house and didn't say anything to anybody? We're in desperate times, church. Yeah. And, you know, and I get any little opening at the shop. I share it with people that, you know, you say, "Well, how do you do that in your business?" If they walk out, they walk out. But I discharged my duties. I had to tell them about it. Somebody asked me about the Bible because there's one out front. What do you want to know about it? Tell you anything you want to know about it. And if I don't know it, I'll look it up. I'll find it for you. But you just can't keep eating and taking nuggets and taking it and hiding them and putting the bushel over the light and not telling anybody about it. Yeah. You ever think about that? We've done that. We all do that. It's not a conscious act. But these lepers are going, you know, we're eating and drinking. Now, remember, they're starving to death. And now all of a sudden, lepers who are hated, despised, would be stoned to death, said, "No, what we're doing here is not right. We really have to tell somebody about this." And there had to be some discussion. Well, why would we tell anybody about it? If we go back to them, guys are not going to believe us anyway. We might as well eat and drink and be happy here and take the gold and get out of here. I mean, who's going to listen? We're lepers. Who's going to listen to us? What? So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly, no one was there, not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied and the tents intact." And you know the gatekeeper had to say, "Well, the heat and the famine have finally gotten to the lepers. They've absolutely lost their minds." And probably wouldn't entertain them for a minute. Why are we listening to lepers? Really? We got our own problems in here. These guys, they got to be baked by the sun. What are they talking about? Wouldn't show those people any respect. Somebody tries to tell you about what the Lord's doing. He doesn't exactly look like you, smell like you, dress like you. Maybe you don't want to listen to them. So the gatekeepers called out. I just wondered what they said. "Yeah, shut up. Go away. Guys are lepers. Glad we're not throwing rocks at you." And they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said, "First of all, why are you folks waking me up? Not a good idea to disturb the king. This better be important, buddy. You just woke me up." So the king arose at night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore, they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the and one of the versions says in the open field." How do you hide in an open field? First of all, an entire army to hide in an open field. "Saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, please, let several men take one of the servants, one of the rope bearers, one of the basket lowers, one of the servants who said to Naaman, just one of the servants. This is not a mighty man of God. This is not a prophet. This is one of the servants. Why would we listen to the servants? And one of the servants answered and said, please, let several men take five of the remaining horses, because they're probably ate, were eating whatever was left of the livestock, which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see. And the servant said, amen. You send them and they'll see. So the king says, therefore they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. So servants, when you open your mouth and the king says, that's a good idea, go check it out. Yeah. Knowing that you probably aren't going to come back. So these servants are really annoying me. You guys go ahead and see. I'm going back to bed. And bring me some news if they come back. They're never coming back. Therefore, they took the two chariots with the horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, go and see. And they went. And he went after them to the Jordan. And indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons, which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. Because of being raised in a family where we hunted and fished, they always talked about getting lost in the woods. Now, if you've ever talked to a rescue team, going out to look for somebody who's been lost, turned around in the woods, in the northern woods of Pennsylvania. This is, I'm talking like now before GPSs and all this stuff, because now, if you have a GPS in your hand, you can just, it'll point you right back to where you're going. But people that are lost and panic, they have a tendency to run. And they'll run in a circle, and they'll throw their weapons away, they'll cast their clothes off, and when they find them alive, they can't understand how they could be that panicked. But here's the account of what happened. When you're running for your life and being confused because of a noise, because your head's on, you're lost, you're never going to get out of here, you're never going to get out of here. This is what the human being does. So the road was strewn with garments and weapons, and the Syrians were gone. There wasn't any not even a sound. There was no noise from them at all. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was indeed sold for a shekel, two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed an officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him. The people trampled, a panicked, starving bunch of people running out. Now they're running for their lives to get the food and the water and whatever else they haven't had for who knows how long. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened, just as the man of God said. There's your measure of the prophets when they're that accurate. He spoke to the king, saying, two seahs of barley for a shekel, a seah of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. Then that officer answered and said, the man of God said, now look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could such a thing be? And he said, in fact, you shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it. And it so happened to him that the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. I think the last noise he heard was leather slapping against his feet as sandals were trampling him and feet were beating on him. Please don't discount what God can do just with a simple noise. You know, some of you know some of the trials that I was going through down at our shop. The Allegheny County Health Department, for no good reason at all, wanted to close me because we're an old shop and we're grandfathered with a lot of equipment and everything down there. And I was told for the 26 years I've been there, 25 years, first 25 years, that the grandfather clause stood, and as the equipment burnt out, you had to replace it. Well, I know you're not going to want to hear this, but we're tithers. We tithe out of our business. So guess what? Refrigerators didn't break down. We didn't have equipment failures. The refrigerator was there. The two refrigerators were there. Have been there since before I got there. The one that I had to get rid of is still running somewhere. It's a tank. They did not understand it. They went here, so now I get these threatening letters. Talk about a noise. I need to do this, and you got X number of time to do this. If you don't do it, we're closing you. Closing me? There's never been a complaint about our shop. We've never had a violation. We've never been a food safety hazard. So did I panic at first? Absolutely. Because it knocked me. You get that first blow, and then you get your senses back. Say, wait a minute. We tithe out of this business. God's not going to let this out. I don't care what this guy said, with this noise this guy's making. So I asked God to help us. I said, Lord, I always pray for other business leaders, other business people, that they find favor with God and with man. Now I'm asking for me, because I never ask for me. So I'm asking that I find favor today with God and with man. Good friend of mine intervened, knew some people who are in Allegheny County Council, and I didn't know this, that they are absolutely the bosses of the people who are giving me the bad time. I didn't know this. I never made the phone call. They took the letter that was sent to me and went into the Allegheny County Health Department and says, this stops today. This man has done nothing wrong. He's complying with everything he wanted to do. This stops today. And I go, now, people who were there to close me down came in and said, oh, hi, Mr. Fish, how are you today? I said, you got the kitchens in pretty good shape now. I said, yeah, guy's washing my windows. Putting a sticker, Allegheny County Health Sticker. Oh, yeah, we'll get this. I said, you missed the spot. I'm sitting around because I'm enjoying this. I know God's moving now, right? What else can we do for you? We can leave this. The whole tone had changed. Yeah. Bobby, the whole tone changed from we're closing you to is this okay? Yeah. People that had the power to close us down. But again, they're subject to a higher power. And what they didn't know was they were really subject to the higher power. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, if God's not a respecter of person, he did this for me, for a little pizza shop. That we've blessed a lot of people out of, by the way, because we pray to be a distribution point, and we are. Want to see your business grow? Ask God to make you a distribution point. Make a place of Christian employment. Amen. Oh, yeah. Place of ministry. And get out the way. You'll be amazed. When the events come up here, whatever it is, we give to them. Because I can't pray to be a distribution point and not distribute. Okay. 1 Samuel. How am I doing? I got any time left? Not much. Am I making sense to you about what I'm talking about? There's so much noise in our lives. We just have to shut it down. Amen. Let's look to 1 Samuel chapter 4. We'll do this quickly, and if I don't finish it, then we'll just pick it up. Part 2. Yeah, we can do that. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Classic. 1 Samuel chapter 4. And the word of the Lord through Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer. The Philistines encamped at Aphek. The Philistines drew up against Israel, and when the battle spread, Israel was smitten by the Philistines, who slew about 4,000 men on the battlefield. And when the troops had come back to the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant, represented here, the Ark of the Covenant. Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord here from Shiloh, that he may come among us and save us from the power of our enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh and brought from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts who dwells above the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and I guess it's Phinehas, were with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout so that the earth resounded, and the Philistines heard the noise of the shout. Who's all been to Pastor Barkley's church? It's been years. When Pastor Barkley says, let's open our Bible, it's thunderous, isn't it, Pastor? How they cheer. Do the same thing when they're collecting the tithes, by the way. They shouted with a shout of joy. How about this? Okay. So the earth resounded, and the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, and they said, what does this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? We just, beat the daylights out of them. How can they be shouting? And when they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the Philistines were afraid, and they said, God has come into the camp, and they said, woe to us, for such a thing has not has not happened before. How's that? That noise. Now, there's a noise that confused the enemy one time. Now, they've got them going again. And you don't have to worry. God lives in you now. He's in your camp.
Yeah.
If you're struggling, and have something, then you know what you do? Open this. And start to study it. And whatever your situation is, find the scriptures that apply to that. That they're all in there, no matter what it is. Okay. Trying to figure what. Okay, let's go to. We're still in the Old Testament. We'll go back to 1 Kings. I'm going to do this as quickly as I can or before we run out of time. Yeah, we're not going to run out of time. 1 Kings, chapter 19. New King James Version, and we're going to read verses 11 and 12. God's revelation to Elijah. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. What do you think that noise was like?
Yeah.
I stood in a great and mighty wind on Monday up at Maureen State Park. I got trapped out there standing in the water when that hurricane, that tornado went through Prospect, which is about a mile and a half from me. And I was stuck standing up my waist in the water and could not move. And it rained biblically on top of me, like somebody was pouring water out of a bucket. And I had to laugh because and there was no thunder and lightning. It was just a tremendous, tremendous wind that had the trees bowed down. This is breaking rocks. How strong is this wind? And tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. And the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. Anybody here been in an earthquake besides my better half? It sounds like a train rumbling through your house. And I mean it. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Ever been near a fire that's out of control? I remember as a little kid watching McKay Cadillac Garage in downtown Swickley burn, and the sound of it's still in my head. It was hideous. The consuming, crackling, popping sound that this out of control fire made. Out of control. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still, small voice. If we can turn the noise out of our life, so the still, small voice can talk to you, let him talk to you through the written word. You don't have to have the audible voice of God talk to you. He'll speak to you. He'll minister to your heart. But if you've got so much noise in your life that you're in a panic running, that you can't hear, that my hope is in the Lord, that no weapon formed against me is going to prosper, that I'll find favor with God and with man. Come on, there's so much stuff. It's a still small voice. And the very last scripture, we just look back to Psalms. Now, it's funny, when I was reading the account of the siege of Samaria, and I got to the word noise, that's how God stopped me right there, says, that's your next message. Just like I'm talking to you, I just said, this is what your next message is. Well, here's what I want you to do. Because I was going to go back to planting and sowing and reaping. So now I want you to do this. Okay. But not for me. Yeah. Psalm 46. That's going to, when that happens, it's great. Psalm 46. And verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You have to make time things to be still. Shut your phone off. Shut your TV off. Spend some time. I don't care if it's 15 or 20 minutes on some scriptures. If you're really in a bad situation, get into the book of Psalms. It's awesome. Not many people on the earth have been in more trouble than David. Right. Running for his life from friends and family, quite frankly. Friends and family trying to kill him. So-called friends. Amen? It's not easy to do. I'm not saying we can do this overnight. But if we don't start tuning out some of the junk, it'll make you run in panic and
We're not supposed to be. You know, Psalms 23 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Two points. If it's a shadow, can't hurt you. If it's a shadow, that means there's got to be light somewhere, right? God's light's got to be somewhere. Shadow cannot hurt you. And you walk. You're not running in panic. It doesn't say anything about, it didn't say about camping there. You're not supposed to stay in the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say you run out there in panic. It says, I'm walking. Because I'm walking with God. You know? Goodness and mercy fall on you. How many times do I use that example? Being pushed by the devil. Back, keep backing up, all of a sudden you bump into something. Oh, there's goodness.
That's right.
There's mercy. Guys are pretty big.
That's right.
Gotta be. Every time the angel came on the scene, they said, don't be afraid. I always loved that. No, don't be afraid. I'm on your side. How big do they have to be imposing? Okay, listen, you've been very attentive, and I'm very grateful for that. And I hope we got something out of it.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.